Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
The day the Lord has made, and I will be grateful and glad within it to spend the time with you. Text line is 800-465-8770. Love to get notes from a bunch of you. Doesn't need to be a book. Doesn't need to be a paragraph. We like complete sentences. And when you text in, please give yourself a nickname. You only have to do that once, and Alex will take care of it from there on out. Look, when people speak for a living, and they opine on things for a living, sometimes people will say just really stupid stuff. There's been times where I've said things that are stupid. And I've done that on the air. Occasionally, I've tweeted things that are just stupid. And it just happens sometimes. I got to tell you what I just heard, what I just read on Twitter. And Alex, I'm not finding the piece, the audio I needed, but I'll just go get it up here. I can't believe this. I've said things out of real frustration with government where, for instance, I firmly believe the data shows. I firmly believe this. And I'll argue with anybody. I'll debate with anybody. I believe the data is very, very clear that the lockdown diktats from Jay Inslee are killing more people than the COVID. And we had Kyle Lamb on last hour. There's 47,000 people who've died because of the lockdown. And it is saved, by Kyle's analysis, about 7,500 or so people. So 40,000 net deaths because of the lockdown. Now, in Washington state, the lockdown has been so bad, so ham-handed, such a political favor fest. And you combine that with the fact that unemployment doesn't exist in this state for tens of thousands of people because Jay Inslee put a big donor in charge of unemployment, and there's $600 million gone. People are killing themselves. Like, active suicides are up. We know drug overdoses are up. We know suicides are up. But, of course, the Seattle Media 5, Seattle Times, Como News, Q13, Cairo 7, and King 5, they're not going to look into any of that until after the election. They refuse to apply any skepticism to this at all. I do wonder how many of their news directors have pledged allegiance to the Department of Health? Truly. That we'll transcribe what you tell us to say. I wonder that. I think there's strong evidence that that's happened. So I've said some things, and I wrote something about my belief that Inslee's lockdowns have killed more people. It was ill-considered. It had every chance in the world to appear to be racist and stupid. And my company did the right thing. I'm fine with what they did. In fact, I admire them for it. Now, that came from a place of absolute concern because we as a family, we know four people who've ended their lives because of the lockdown. I mean, you can't say because of the lockdown. I mean, people live through things, but it was an impact on them. And three of those are kids, teens. Okay? What I'm going to share with you, this doesn't come from a place of concern. This doesn't come from a place of concern for lives lost. This comes solely, as I see it, from a perspective of how much virtue can I signal? How popular can I be with the woke-a-rati and the woke-a-hottists? And it happens that it's an ESPN radio hosting team. And you know that ESPN has gone full wokeaholist. Pro sports has gone full wokeaholist. So they're chasing the virtue that's been set in their corporate culture. They tweeted about this man. This man's name is Jonathan Isaac, man number 22 with the Orlando Magic. He did not kneel for the Star Spangled Banner, national anthem. He didn't kneel. He was asked about this after a game, and this is what he said. Then I'll tell you what they tweeted.
He made me support Black Lives or not. I believe that for myself, my life has been supported through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that everyone is made in the image of God, and that we all fall short of God's glory. And that, you know, each and every one of us, each and every day, do things that we shouldn't do. We say things that we shouldn't say. And we hate and we dislike people that we shouldn't hate and dislike. And sometimes it gets into a point where we point fingers about whose evil is worse. And sometimes it comes down to simply whose evil is most visible. So I felt like I wanted to just take a stand on it. I feel like we all make mistakes, but I think the gospel of Jesus Christ is that there's grace for us. And that Jesus came and died for our sins, and that if we all will come to an understanding of that and understand that God wants to have a relationship with us.
So given that 1 minute explanation of his faith and how that animates his beliefs and informs his actions, some goof, a goof of a reporter said, yeah, but the Black Lives Matter. And it happens that Jonathan Isaac is a black man. I'm going to imagine that his life matters to him. And he said to this buffoonish question, he said, of course. There are apparently some sports hosts I've never heard of named Dan Lebatard and Stuggets. It's the Dan Lebatard and Stuggets show. Maybe Stuggets is that guy who sits in the background and goes, that everything Dan Lebatard says. I don't know. I've never heard their show. So they're two white cats. ESPN Wing 1410, the Dan Lebatard show with Stuggets. And I don't know which one is Stuggets and which one is Dan Lebatard. So here's what they tweeted about Jonathan Isaac. Oh, Jonathan Isaac has suffered what might be and looks to be a season-ending knee injury. It's funny stuff. So Dan Lebatard show tweeted, is it funny that the guy who refused to kneel immediately blew out his knee? Oh, that's some funny stuff. There were 9,002 votes. 46% of the people said, it's hilarious that a dude suffered a season-ending knee injury. 54% of people said no. Started this segment by talking about the log in my eye and how much I am willing to admit the log in my eye. Justifying it because of my deep concern for the loss of life in Washington State because of the diktats and the policies. That's and speaking to the data. Someone tell me these guys aren't just shopping virtue. Someone tell me that's not an attempt to say we are so woke. You want to know how woke we are? We're so woke that we think it's hilarious that a young basketball player whose career is built upon his body, we think it's hilarious that he's had a season-ending knee injury. That's some funny stuff, Dan Lebatard with Stuggets. Man, I can't stop laughing.
I don't know. We could have the summer of love.
Much of the violence and destruction, both here in Seattle and across the country, has been instigated and perpetuated, not by the people most impacted by generations of discrimination and institutional racism, but by young white men.
I have conquered the criminal justice system.
She's actually right. I'm not going to go into her ages and ages and ages of marginalization. I believe the country is not a racist country. I think the statistics will bear that out. I know there's racism. We've talked to black people on our show. We'll talk to black people again on our show. I'm going to put together this panel. I keep saying it. People say, are you really going to do that? Yes, but I want to do it in person. I want to do it with no woke masks. I want to talk men to men. And, well, you know what? We haven't had any black women on. Need to address that. So I'm going to do that. But she's right. It's the Antifa crowd is now taking over. It's 98%, 99% young white communist street thugs who get to drive through downtown Seattle like Mogadishu in the back of a pickup truck with rifles, etc., in unmarked pickup trucks. And into this image, of course, there is this defund the police. This movement, this insanity, it cannot be defended. There is literally no defense of this unless you are hypnotized or you've paid to hypnotize people or to indoctrinate people. The Seattle City Council staff did some math. The staff did this? Oh, that's funny. Oh, this is funny. So Seattle City Council staff did a little bit of math, and this comes from Q13 Fox. Done a great job on this issue. Q13 has done a great, great job reporting all sides of this issue. Stellar reporting. What would happen if they cut all sworn police officers, fired every sworn police officer in Seattle? Would that take care of the budget? Would that even cut the budget by 50%?
City Council is set to vote on a budget a week from today, and with hundreds of officer jobs on the line, budget experts say laying off every sworn officer still would not meet the goal of cutting the rest of this year's budget in half.
No, because there is an enormous amount of support that has to go with the police officers. There's 911 calls. There's, of course, equipment. There's capital. There's HR support. There's an enormous amount of tactical support behind this so that the cops can get to your home when, God forbid, it's being broken into, which they can't even now. We've played the 911 calls on the show where, hey, yeah, someone's in my business. They're stealing stuff. Yep, sorry. That sucks. Oops, I'm not supposed to say that. That's bad. You can't get there. The cops can't come. Now, in Portland, another city that wants depolicing, the communist street thugs have relocated. Look at the tactic. Look at this tactic. This is so smart. This is so scheming and smart. The communist street thugs were spending their time trying to break into a federal courthouse to burn it down and burn down the people in the courthouse, federal officers. In other words, murder. That was their goal. Night after night, 51 nights, they did this. President Trump sent federal officers, not the KGB as wacko MSNBC guest said last hour. They had their insignias. It said police. They did a press release. We're coming. Hey, if you don't solve this, we're going to come. And the president said, I'll send people if you keep doing this. And then they sent people and they showed up with their badges. It says police in uniforms announcing who they are. Yes, they pulled the communist street thugs off the street. Sometimes they weren't near the courthouse. Those people were charged and released. They weren't beaten. They weren't interrogated. They were charged and released. So now they have a record of them. They're now in neighborhoods. Okay. So now they've gone to Southeast Portland. Look at the tactic. This is in a neighborhood. Police are trying to move people along, get them out of the streets. Just imagine waking up and hearing this outside your home. Watching this outside your home. So the tactic is really clear. The tactic is this. They're punishing the residents. They're saying, oh, So you don't want us at the federal courthouse breaking in. Oh, so you think we've retreated? No, we're punishing you. We're going to come and burn down a police station in your neighborhood. We're going to bring the fight to your door. It's the same tactic that's going on when these thugs went to Carmen Best's residence, when they went out to the city council members. I have zero sympathy for the city council members because they've invited this tactic. They've invited this environment. They've fed it. They've nurtured it. They've promoted it. Zero, zero sympathy for them. Now, I don't stand with the tactic, but when it's applied against a Tammy Morales, I don't particularly care because she's invited this. I just don't stand with the tactic. Also, on Southeast Burnside, I know right where this is. This is crazy. I know this neighborhood because I have a friend who lives right. I gotta call him. But he's a national radio host. I can't even. Nope, never mind. I gave away too much information. That was bad. That was a bad thing I did. All right. This is outside homes in Southeast Portland. They need to arrest a woman. I think it's a woman. By the screaming, I'm hoping it's a woman.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
This event has indeed an unlawful assembly. The first now east to 53rd. Failure to comply with this lawful order may subject you to arrest and force to include crowd control conditions.
Listen. Get back. So now they're arresting her.
Get on the sidewalk. Now. Get on the sidewalk or go to jail.
Okay, press.
Now, I can still tell you to get on the sidewalk.
In the background, you're screaming. Hear that screeching? That's what they're taught to do now. Imagine, you're in your house sleeping, and this is happening outside. You're still voting Democrat? That's the thing they're trying to do. They're trying to move it into the neighborhoods now to say this is Trump's fault. Compare that to the pro-police rally. Okay, the pro-police rally that occurred in downtown Seattle. A bunch of friends at the show, people I know in politics, some of them running for office, hosted this rally. They did it the right way. They got a permit. The police were there. They kept the thuggish people away from the citizens. Okay, it was done right. Daniel Beekman from the Seattle Times. Seattle Times is a pro-Antifa paper. They're wokeaholists. They are transcriptionists for Jay Inslee at the Seattle Times on the COVID. They've endorsed Inslee, which is beyond logic. Jay Inslee is a failed governor in every capacity, even on the leftist things like his so-called carbon goals. He's failed on every one of them. Jay Inslee's tenure as governor cannot be defended, but they've endorsed him. Daniel Beekman with the Seattle Times went to supposedly interview the people who had organized this rally. Except his article is not about them. Two of the organizers, Jana Downing and Beth Darnting, have written to Beekman to talk about the fact that they held this event. They held it for a reason. They organized it. He didn't spend any time with their words. You read the article. It's an article about the 20-something counter-protesters, not the 200 people who showed up to defend the police. In the words of Jana Downing, and I think this is right, Beekman gives more credit to some random passerby who wanted the police defunded. Didn't even get into their concerns in any depth. In the Seattle Times, Beekman made it an article about the counter-protesters. The exact opposite of what they do on the pro-Antifa side. Now, why would that be? I asked Beekman this on Twitter. Beekman hasn't responded. I asked him, hey, Daniel, are you a member of SAG-AFTRA Seattle? Because Jason Rantz, 3 to 6 p.m. on KTTH, you know Jason, he broke a story, I think yesterday or the day before, that Sheila Allen, the executive director of SAG-AFTRA, she says they represent broadcasters and journalists. I asked Beekman, Are you a member of this union? Here's why I asked that.
Hi, my name is Shalia Allen. I'm the executive director of SAG-AFTRA in Seattle and a resident of West Seattle. We're the labor union that represents journalists. A new kind of policing is possible. Defending Black lives and defending our First Amendment rights as journalists means defunding the police and reinvesting in the community. I've watched in Seattle and across the country as journalists have been tear gassed, fired upon, and detained by police officers for doing their jobs. Acts of violence on the press, bringing news to the communities they serve, are a betrayal of our nation's founding principle that a free press is necessary for the maintenance of a free government. SAG-AFTRA denounces police brutality and supports demilitarizing the police and decriminalize Seattle. Another kind of policing is possible.
So,
thank you.
Utter lies. The journalists are not being targeted with tear gas. They're not being targeted for arrest. They're not being beaten. Everything there was utter complete a gibberish of random words. But if Daniel Biekman is a member of this union, shouldn't that be disclosed? King 5, to their credit, has called this out. Cairo 7 hasn't. I haven't seen a word from the Seattle Times. If Daniel Biekman, who wrote this very skewed story, is a member of that union, shouldn't he say so? I would say so. I disclosed before I said that I did the analysis, and I did it, and I said, hey, you know what? I think Josh Fried has the best shot of getting through this and beating Jay Inslee. And I disclosed, I consider Josh a friend. Never been to dinner, never been to his house, never been out together socially. And I consider him a friend because I worked with him for 6 years on like the heroin, the government funded heroin dens. I disclosed that to you because I want you to know my thinking. I've disclosed to you, I liked Tim Iman. I think he's his own worst enemy, and I like him, and I admire the heck out of him. I disclosed that to you. If Daniel Biekman or anyone else, anyone who writes on police reform, so-called, or broadcasts, needs to state right now if they're a member of this union that has sworn allegiance, according to this lady, to defunding the police. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. You will not believe. We'll get into your text messages. You will not believe what a guy running for re-election to the Spokane County Commission, he's out with his mother. Flag waving, you will not believe what an unhinged dude in Spokane did to this guy for waving signs. Got to hear this audio. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. So listening to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Oh, got to get to this real quick. I know we need to do text messages, and I'm looking forward to them. You just got to hear how insane things have gotten. This is a guy named Josh Kearns, no relation to my friend and former radio reporter Josh Kearns, who is a pretty liberal cat, by the way, but a nice man, super nice man, gorgeous man, as a matter of fact. This is a Spokane County Commissioner running for re-election. He is doing nothing but sign-waving on Northwest Boulevard in Spokane with his mom. And his mom's got to be my mom's age. I hope this is bleeped. Dude pulls up. Guy calls up in a white car. He is probably 400 feet from the sign-waving. He's a skinny little dude, might weigh 75 to 80 pounds. Comes marching up because people are waving signs for re-election. Listen to this.
What's going on? I don't.
Oh, I don't. I know you don't.
What are you?
Then don't talk to me, mother. When I'm turning.
I just
sign out of my face.
Hey,
you got
hey.
To get your sign out of my face.
I sign you. Here. That's all.
You.
Just sign waving, man.
Okay.
No, yeah.
Get the out of here because we don't want you here.
I'm with Commissioner.
Okay.
Yeah. You, Commissioner. You.
All right, buddy.
Now, yeah, I'll kick that phone right out of your
hand,
mother.
You're not going to touch me, man.
Then get your phone out of my face, mother. Before I hit you.
Here. I'm with Commissioner Josh Kearns.
Yeah, well,
not that
you're an ugly.
Sir.
We'll be putting that up on Facebook because that dude there needs an identification. Question. And look, I'm not one to go around throwing out fisticuffs anymore. That was the young Herman 30 years ago. Why is it always some guy who weighs 75 pounds? And maybe that guy's got some special fighting skills, but you know what? I've never met anybody who knows how to fight who pulls junk like that. That's okay. I better stop talking. All right, on the text line, 800-465-8770. Doesn't need to be a paragraph or a book. We like complete sentences. Please give yourself a nickname when you write in. That way, Alex will put it in the system. We never need to say anything about it again. On the 1619 Project, Anonymous writes, they stopped teaching history in Chicago schools. As I said, it's prejudiced and unfair to women and minorities. Are they trying to stop standardization because they say it's prejudiced? Yes, yes, yes. There's a war on standards in schools. Oh, absolutely. By the way, this is true. Chicago schools have proposed, let's stop teaching any history, until we can figure out an alternative to the facts. And in your schools, in Highline School District, if you are in Highline School District, you better know this. I've heard from credible sources. They're going to teach 1619 projects in Highline schools. The 1619 project, which is fiction. It pretends, utter pretense, that the United States was founded specifically to propel and protect slavery. Forget religious liberties. Forget any of that. Forget taxation without representation. Forget any of that. Forget the great experiment of governed at the consent of the governed. Forget the evolution that we've gone through as a country to where we did have the perversion of slavery in our country, as did Britain. We were the second major country in the world to do away with it. Forget all that. 1619 Project teaches that America was born as a slave protection society. Incredible. We talked with independent data analyst Kyle Lamb, who has laid out the truth about the COVID. And it's this: 40,000 net deaths because of the lockdown, 40,000. In terms of infection fatalities, people who are infected and die with the COVID. Okay. Move the numbers with. People who died just from COVID, maybe 80,000 people. This thing is on the level of influenza, and the entire country is shut down. Steve from Ohio, COVID-19 cases are starting to drop. To keep the fear, the news will start to report the number of people recovering from COVID-19 is dropping. They need to keep the fear so no one knows that the USA isn't in any serious danger. I wish you well. Steve, I wish you well. Steve discovered us on Rush's show and has been with us ever since. Thank you for that. That's a brilliant analysis. Look forward to that. That is going to happen. Personal note, Mindy from Ballard. Yesterday's personal really got me in the feels. You handled that situation with a scared mask lady. It touched my heart. The fear may be irrational, but they don't know that. We must come from a place of love if we expect to beat this con job. Thanks and God bless. Thank you, Mindy. Yes, met a woman at a store. First time someone's tried to mask shame me. I had my speech. It's all facts and laid out. And do you want to talk about this from a perspective of physics or immunology or epidemiology? Because I can go all three. So pick which one you want to do. I've got it all memorized. I've got visual guides on my phone. But this lady was so scared. So I approached it with what I learned in therapy. And it was just, you know what, ma'am? I can see that you're really frightened. And I feel really sad that I've contributed to that. Open the door to a conversation. And opened the door to her, by the way, hearing from me facts that she was not aware of. On Jonathan Isaac, this is the Orlando Magic player who chose to not kneel for the national anthem. And had a very eloquent explanation as to why he, a black man, decided to not kneel. And now some ESPN radio hosts have said, put out a poll. Is it funny that the guy who refused to kneel blew out his knee with a season-ending injury? Dan Lebtard and Stu Gotz, pronounced Gotz, are hate-filled Trump derangement syndrome blanks. They bend the knee and scream racism and solely shopping virtue. Thank you for telling me that. I didn't know. I have no idea who those guys are. But it makes sense. That's just, it's virtue shopping. So apparently, again, thoughtful. I don't want to say it that way. This young man, this young black man's career doesn't matter because he doesn't match with the virtue signaling of these two white dudes who talk about sports for a living. Got it. On George Floyd, the full video, someone leaked to the Times UK. Interesting that this had to be leaked to a foreign news source, ain't it? Ain't it? We're going to go through this in detail tomorrow. Art Bell fan, Todd, your comments early in your show today about the people and organizations behind these riots. I bet the majority of people in this country don't know who they are. They don't know because the marketing is both brilliant and divergent. I'm beginning to realize it's not only the rioters who are hypnotized. Thanks, Art Bell fan. True. Most people haven't gotten to the bare surface of this. On mail-in ballots, Pelosi's dentures. During the 2018 election cycle of Seattle City Council, everyone heavily criticized Amazon financially influencing the race and their support behind the candidate running against Sharma. Or at least the socialists and liberals were up in arms. Now we are reaping those election results. What a mess. What a mess. Yes. Pelosi's dentures is referring to the fact that all of a sudden, Sharma Sawant came from behind with a surprising victory. She, in the last few days, got exactly the number of votes needed. HVAC Viking on Anthony Welty coming on the show, running for insurance commissioner. Wow, not only exporting our goods, but our insurance too. Great idea, Todd. Way to support local. I personally spend extra on all goods that I can keep money in America. Great. Then you can do that. Please do that, HVAC. You buy expensive American insurance and continue to support them. Please be my guest. I will buy insurance from out of the country that is, in fact, going to be innovative. And you know what will happen, HVAC? I'll be helping you. And I'm glad to do it. I'll help you get lower prices and not be forced to purchase insurance you don't need at prices you can't afford from companies you don't like. 800-465-8770. That's how to get us a text message. Give yourself a nickname so we feel like we're talking to you, human being. You only have to do that once. Alex will take care of the work. We'll come back and wrap up the day on the Todd Herman Show with a personal note on AM 770 KTTH.
Down on Main Street.
Shout out, thanks. Jason Rance has pointed out to me, we talked about Daniel Beekman, the Seattle Times reporter, is not a member of that union. It is just for broadcasting. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate that. Always turn to Jason for the facts. On a personal note today, man, did I have a weird, unbelievably disturbing dream. Now, maybe this is different for you. It's not for me. I have a history of God speaking to me through dreams. I mean, and really speaking to me. Years ago, I was going through an unbelievably crazy time of my dad was dying. My girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, we'd broken up. And so that was happening. I was trying to help my dear friend and mentor sell his business. I just had all these stress points in my life. And it manifested in me in anger. And I had this incredible dream where God just told me to not be angry. But it was, I don't have time to go into the full thing. I'll tell you again that story sometime. I've told it before. But it ended in me face to face with the Lord as I saw it. And he just put his finger up and said, just don't be angry. And last night I had a wild dream. I have to tell my mom about this. Now I know Jansley's married, okay, to Trudy. And yet in my dream, he had married my mother. Jay Inslee had married my mother. And he was cooking dinner in our house. He was slicing vegetables. I'm looking at Jay Inslee. And I know this is my mom's husband. So I'm thinking, how am I going to manage this? And then I thought, I'll do it the way I've done it with people I don't know. I will talk around the issues. I will not be angry. And I woke up. Nothing had changed. My opinions about Jay Inslee's lockdown diktats are the same. I believe the data shows those diktats are responsible for more loss of life than people dying from COVID-19. That hadn't changed. My views on his other policies hadn't changed. But a reminder, I don't want to be changed. I don't want my daughter to be the kid with the angry dad. I don't want my wife to be the woman with an angry husband. It doesn't mean that I shall not become upset by policies. It does not mean that I will begin to think of Jay Inslee as a good person. It does not mean I will stop criticizing or shedding light on these policies so that I can help uplift families and communities. It doesn't mean any of that. I shall not become the anger. There are moments, biblically speaking, very few, where Christ Jesus showed anger or frustration. People like to talk about the turning over the tables in the temple. Like to talk about him saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I'm not Jesus or anything close to it. God knows that. But the majority of his work, majority of it was done with great love. And he was not changed by the cruelty that the world performed unto him. Of course, he was unchangeable. I will not become the anger. I will not be changed into the anger. I don't think that the anger comes from the Lord. So I will maintain my balance. I'll try. I'd appreciate your support on that. The Great Rush Limbaugh program is next. This is the Todd Herman Show. We air every weekday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. I certainly hope to get to see you tomorrow. Go be well, be strong, and be kind.